Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding, that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me. Listen at this. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. For just a little while this morning, I want to talk about being in good company. Being in good company. And if you believe, my brothers and sisters, that you are in the company of the Lord, you need to turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor,
neighbor,
it's a good thing
to be
in good company. Now, if you're in good company, come on, give God some praise now. There are three things I want to outline, hopefully, that I'll get a chance to get to in this message. But first thing in these verses that I've read from verses 73 through 79, the outline is I'm going to deal with the psalmist talking about being in the Lord's hand. I want to talk about the Lord's heart and the Lord's help. He starts off, because before you can get the Lord's help and be in the Lord's heart here, he refers to being in the Lord's hand as a part of being fashioned, made in that same thing. So he's talking about part A, how being in the Lord's hands, he's talking about how God is making him. And making him is a part of how God fashioned him, a part in making him. Notice what he says, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Now, why is he calling attention to the Lord's hands? Again, in Scripture, when we reference the Lord's hands, it is synonymous with his handiwork. It is synonymous with many things that he does in terms of help, in creation, in molding, and many other such things. But here he's talking about how God himself has literally fashioned him into what he has become, not of his own doing, not of his own desire, but of God's. Every one of us here, especially those who have surrendered their lives to the Lord God, will come into understanding some things about how God operates. And it's important to recognize this, because not only does he talk about a part that God plays in making him by talking about his hand, but he also talks about a fact that God has a purpose, not just a part, but a purpose in making him. The first part, when he says, thy hands have made me, that's the part that has to do with making him. But then he says, and fashion me, then that means that's where God begins to shape him for the purpose that he made him. God has made no one without a purpose. You are here as a direct result of a part in God's handiwork, as God himself has desired and designed for you to be all that he desires you to be. And he does give you a part to play in the process in his permissive will. But note here the psalmist is dealing more abstractly with God's perfect will, because he says, you made me. I wouldn't even be here if you didn't desire me to be here. Second thing I know is the reason I'm here at this period is because you have a purpose for my life. Have you ever wondered why you weren't born in biblical days? Have you ever wondered why you weren't born later? Well, God had something to do with it. I know it took mom and daddy, but they were just a part in the process. But God ordered your footsteps, designed that you would be here. And when you come to the understanding that God has not made a mistake, that you are here at this juncture in human history for the purpose of God, most of us need to discover what our purpose is, but you will note God has already fashioned you for your purpose. Notice he says, give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. Now that's important, because all of that's a part of understanding the purpose of his calling. You see, my brothers and sisters, you will never ever truly know the will of God for your life outside of the Word of God. Because it is the Word of God that reveals the will of God, that shows you the way that God wants you to go. Your purpose becomes more clear. Your understanding becomes more enlightened. You then get a full understanding, because a whole lot of us are missing God because we've come with preconceived ideals as to what our purpose is. Now, let me say one thing to you. One of the things that you're going to note when you discover your purpose is that God has already been preparing you for it. And it may be diametrically opposite of what you're doing. And what you don't realize is you ain't got to work at it. It's natural. It flows, because that's what God desires. If you're working so hard at something and it doesn't seem like it's working, it could be because that ain't what you're supposed to be working. So when you begin to understand that, you will recognize that God has a purpose in making him. But verse 74 says that God has a purpose in motivating him. Look at what verse 74 says. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. Now, listen to this, because what he's literally saying is God is motivating me and saying to him, and to all of us, sometimes what you go through is not for you, but for others who can't take what you can right now. Sometimes what you don't understand, you know, because sometimes God allows something to happen to some of us that he wouldn't let other things happen to others of us, because we couldn't handle it. We couldn't deal with it. They've seen biblical portraits of people who walked through this and walked through that, but they've not seen human, natural, present day reality of people walking through some things. So when you see somebody can touch and identify with someone who's been through something, who's come through a hard way, who's dealt with a hard knock and is steadily moving and going on, they will be glad to see you, because they realize if you could make it, they can make it also. Listen to what he says. He says, verse 74, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me. Why? Because I've been through the storm and rain. I made it. Ask me how. Y'all know the song? I don't know, but I made it. That's somebody who's been there can understand what I'm talking about. And they'll say, if he could do it, oh, there's hope for me to do it. Listen at this word. I want you to see something else. He deals with this because verse 75 deals with molding him. 74 was dealing with motivating him. 73 had to do with making him. But look at it again, verse 75 dealing here with molding him. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Now that word afflicted me again kind of throws you into a whole new frame of thought, and it does not quite truly justify what he's really saying. God didn't afflict him as it sounds. It literally means in this rendering, tested him, tried him, allowed him to be tested or tried, allowed him to go through. God did not afflict him personally, but what you need to know is God authorized it. Now, every time you want to complain about what you go through, Lord, why did you let this happen to me? Lord, why did this happen? Well, just read Job and understand that God doesn't afflict folk, but those who are worthy of the test, of the trial, of the tribulation, he will say to Satan, try them, but put limitations on Satan so that he doesn't take you out of here. So he recognized that God was molding him by his test. Tempering you many times causes you to go under the heat because it's a part of the process of reshaping you and making you and hardening you to the point where you can deal with what you couldn't deal with before. And so sometimes the way God molds us is not by soft things, not by easy stuff. Not by stuff that always makes us high and happy and ooh, we just on a natural high all day. No, sometimes God lets us go through some stuff that brings us way down, makes our heart hurt, make the tears flow down. But it's in order to harden us to the point so that we will be strong enough to know that God is faithful in his word. He's faithful in his doings. He's faithful in taking care of his people. And we would never know the multiplicity of things that God does for us if we stayed in our comfort zones. So listen at this. He says this because he recognized God allowed what he allowed to mold him. Now, let me tell you another reason for molding you. God doesn't allow you to be molded unless what he's molding you for is worthy and connected with the purpose that he called you for. And again, you've got to realize if you don't have much molding going on in your life, it may be an indicator for what God has purposed in your life. To whom much is given, I said, to whom much is given, much is required. You can't stand the heat of what some folk go through and you want to be in their place. See, you want to have the glitter and the glamour, but you don't want to go through no gloom. You want to laugh and smile, but you don't want to have to go through no tears and no heartache. You want to be able to have the stuff, but you don't want to have to go through no sorrow. My brothers and sisters, what you've got to understand is God is molding us, each one of us individually and all of us collectively, for those things that he has desired and designed for our lives. And listen, if you've gone through stuff after stuff after stuff after stuff, don't give up in the stuff, because he's just getting you ready for the thing he's really preparing you for. No, you can't see it in the molding process because it's not a pretty process. No, you don't feel that way while you're going through, but you've got to realize that that's the way God does it. You remember the story of Jeremiah 18 chapter when he sends him over to the potter's house and he sets him in a room where the man is and lets him watch him mold some clay into a vessel. And after he finished molding that vessel and he looks at it, he notices that it's marred. It's imperfect. It is not fit for the purpose it was designed for. But then he takes that marred vessel that's in his hand, and instead of reaching back and getting brand new clay, he takes that same marred vessel and throws it back on the wheel and smashes it down. And reworks it back into a beautiful vessel without a mar or scar. And then perfectly fit for the service it is intended. Well, my brothers and sisters, that's what the Lord does with us many times. And what you don't realize is he's not going to let us through. He's not going to get rid of us. He's not going to let us out of his hand in the sense of finishing the creation or the molding until we are everything he wants us to be. In other words, he's not going to put us in the service that he's designed us until we can handle the service he puts us in. And so if he's steadily molding you and you're wondering, why not me, why not now? Because he ain't through with you yet. You look at somebody else and say, why them, why not me? It's because he's not through with you yet. Why then, why not me? Because maybe what he has for you is different. Maybe it's better. Maybe it's on another level. Maybe it's more intense. You have no idea. But what you need to know is as long as he's molding you, it is for his glory and your good. Now, I want you to see something else, because now he starts to deal with the Lord's heart. He's moved now from the Lord's hand to the Lord's heart. Look at what he says in verse 76. Let I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. What he was literally saying was, show your love to me. You see, once you've been afflicted and you've gone through and God is molding you, somehow it's good disciplinarian practices when a parent has to chastise a child for some wrongdoing after the chastisement period to then reaffirm in that child that mama, daddy loves you, but it's because I love you that I had to straighten you out. Mama loves you too much to let you have your own way. Daddy loves you too much to let you have your own way. Matter of fact, God says those whom he loves, he chastens. See, if the Lord really loves you, he's going to do something that's going to let you know you can't have your own way and think it's all right with him. If God really loves you, you wonder why he lets some folk get away with some stuff he don't let you get away with. It's because he loves you so much. He knows the path that they're taking and where it's going to end up. But he loves you too much to let you get away with what he's allowing them at the moment to seemingly get away with. They're not getting away. They may be getting by for the moment, but God has got this thing fixed. And so he's saying, while I have gone through and been afflicted, I just need now that I've come through this mess for you to show your love to me. And so listen at this, because it's important. He says this. He says, let, that's a request. I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Yes, sir. Now, God is filled with tender mercies and loving kindness. His mercy endureth forever. You know, my brothers and sisters, one of the things that just gets God excited is when you tell him what you want based on what he said. Lord, I know I don't deserve it, but you said you are loving, God, that you will love me forever without condition. You are filled with tender mercy. I mean, just show me your love, Lord. I didn't deserve it in the first place. When you sent your son down to get me, I didn't deserve it then. So even now, can you just refresh me in your love? Show your love to me. But he doesn't stop there. Listen at this. I want you to see this, because he says again, according to, listen at this, thy word unto thy servant. Now, when he says according to thy word, he's not just saying, show your love to me as he requested in the beginning of the verse. Now he's saying, according to your word, share your love with me. See, show your love to me is one thing, but share your love with me is another. It's a whole nother level. Because see, God can show you his love, but it doesn't have to be to you. Somebody didn't get that. Folk can be kind all around you all day and never be kind to you. And so he's saying, since you are kind, share your kindness with me. Since you are love, share your love with me. I want to experience it afresh according to your word. Listen again, because I want you to see now, as he moves on from the Lord's heart now to the Lord's help in verse 77. He says, let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Listen at this, the Lord's help. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, Why? That I may live. Now, I need you to understand, he's not talking about existing. He's not talking about getting by. When he says that I may live, it follows the same trend of thought of what Jesus says, that I might come, that you might have life, and that more abundantly. It's talking about living life in the fullness and the abundance of God's goodness. You see, too many of us just exist in life rather than live. You have no expectation when you wake up in the morning. You're not excited about a brand new day with brand new benefits. You don't recognize that the day is the day of your miracle. You have no understanding that the God who has created this world has created something special in you, has created something special for you, has created you to do something special for you. You don't understand that living life to its fullness is more than just about you. It's about him. And being connected to him means when you please him, he more than pleases you. When you are a blessing to his kingdom, he will more than bless your life. And so he says that I may live abundantly, prosperously, in the fullness of God's goodness. Do you know, my brothers and sisters, your days will be filled with so much joy? You have some issues and some this, that, and the other that you deal with, but they couldn't compare with the joy, with the wonderfulness that God has when you come to that revelation. Listen at this word. He says something else now. He says, I need the Lord's help. Now, let's look at verse 78. To be wise, successful in the fight. Look at verse 78. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. Lord, I need your help to be successful in the fight. Now, what I like about this is he says, I don't mind being in the fight. I just want to win when it's all said and done. You know, I ain't looking for it. I ain't picking it. But since it's come upon me, Lord, I just need you to help me to be successful in it. Now, listen to this, because what he's concerned about is fighting right. How many of you know there's a right way to fight and a wrong way to fight? And so look at what he says in verse 78. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. I could understand them dealing with me if they had dealt with me according to something I deserve. But they dealt with me perversely. They backstabbed me. They undercut me. They undermined me. They lied on me. They twist and turn the truth. They didn't handle me rightly. So, Lord, I want you to put them to shame. I ain't gonna ring out and hang out their dirty laundry. I ain't gonna get on the phone and talk about what I know about them. I ain't gonna do them like they've done me. But, Lord, I want you to make them ashamed. You did say vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will. Somebody ain't hearing me here. So since you're going to repay, Lord, I'm going to just hold on to your word. Because I'm going to watch you make me successful without lifting a finger against my enemy. Now that's fighting right, somebody. And I got news for you. If you don't fight like that, you're not going to be successful in the fight. Because I got news again for you. The battle is not yours. Touch your neighbor and encourage and tell them the battle is not yours. Tell them the battle is not yours. Tell them one more time, the battle is not yours. So you need to let God fix this thing for you. Listen at what he says. Listen at this. Not only do I want to be successful in the fight, he says in verse 78, but he says, I want to be secure in the fellowship. Look at verse 79. He says, let those that fear thee turn unto me and those that have known thy testimonies. He says, I want to be secure in the fellowship. I want to hang out with folk who done been through something. I want to hang out with some folk who got a story to tell. I want to hang out with some folk who know God can pick you up. And I want to hang out with some folk who have come to the end of that journey and thought that there was no way, and watch God make a way out of no way. I want to hang out with some folk who's been down that the Lord has picked up. I want to hang out with some folk who's not ashamed to say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? I just want to hang out with some folk who don't mind praising him. I just want to hang out with some people who ain't too bigoted and who ain't too proud to say, I thank you, Jesus, for doing for me what you did for me, for opening. Lord, I wish I had it. It ain't about me, but thy will, thy will. I just want some folk around me like that. Oh, sit down, sit down, sit down. I'm not through yet. Because I got one more thing I want to tell you that he said. He said, not only do I want to be successful in the fight, and not only do I want to be secure in the fellowship, but lastly, in verse 8, he said, I want to be sound in faith.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
A non-attorney spokesperson.
When the going gets tough, the tough get going. When choosing a lawyer, it's important that it will be one that has compassion, empathy, experience, and is willing to fight for you. Attorney Jonathan Goins is that attorney. Attorney Goins grew up with humble beginnings and has always excelled in every part of his life. He is driven to succeed and works hard for his clients because it can become overwhelming getting slammed in a car wreck or an 18-wheeler smashing into you. So when the going gets tough, the tough get going. For more information, the number is 318-787-5607. That's 318-787-5607. For Attorney Jonathan Goins, a proud sponsor of this station.
What will people think when they hear that I'm a Jesus freak? What will people do when they find that it's true?
In month 8 of the I Commit to Pray campaign, the Voice of the Martyrs is praying persecuted Christians are able to rejoice in their suffering. Acts chapter 5 describes how the jealous Sadducees had the apostles arrested because they had been healing the sick and drawing great crowds. The apostles were flogged and ordered not to speak of Jesus in public. Upon their release, they celebrated. Not because of their freedom, they rejoiced, verse 41 says, because God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for his name. For more on the I Commit to Pray campaign, go online to persecution.com.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard. So you don't need to ditch the car and start rollerblading to work.
I look ridiculous.
You look ridiculous!
You don't need to start foraging wild berries.
I was skeptical, but these are actually pretty good.
You don't need to sell your organs on the black market.
Lie back. This is gonna hurt.
Yeah, that hurts.
You don't need to rent out your apartment to drifters.
I made a fire with the wood in your bedroom.
That's my dresser!
And your closet door.
You just need an internet connection. Don't get left behind. Start your personal savings plan with the tips and tools on feedthepig.org. That way, you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
This is KAYT, Gina.